welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Wednesday morning edition of our broadcast, and we hope you'll stay with us from start to finish. And today we'll be talking about what comes against creativity and imagination in the lives of us as believers. What can take it out? What can kill creativity and imagination? And we'll talk, we hope, somewhat extensively on this theme and subject. And we will invite you, of course, to join us. We'll open the phone lines and give you the opportunity to share your thoughts with us, perhaps by way of a comment or question. Whatever you'd like to share with us, you're welcome to do so at the following numbers. The toll-free number is 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700. We want to welcome you to today's program. Again, my name is Pastor John Love. I should be joined here momentarily by Pastor Steve Andrelonis as we get this Wednesday morning edition of our broadcast underway. Don't forget as well, the chat is available. If you'd like to weigh in that way with a comment or question, don't hesitate to do so. We want to thank you so much for joining us. And I want to remind you, of course, not to forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we also would like to take this opportunity, if you're listening here locally in the greater Baltimore area, that tonight is our midweek service. And that begins promptly at 7 p.m. and all are welcome. So come on out the middle of the week and hear a message from the Scripture, from the Word of God, a time of worship and fellowship together with the body of Christ that will be certain to encourage you in your walk of faith. So we want to extend that invitation to everyone listening in the greater Baltimore area. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive right here in Baltimore. And again, we want to, well, we hope to see you tonight and want to extend that invitation to all of our listeners. In today's broadcast, we're going to explore this theme and ask, of course, this question: what is it that hinders or kills creativity and imagination in the lives of believers? You know, there is a principle in the Scripture, a hermeneutical principle called the principle of first mention. And the first mention that we have in the Scripture about the imagination or imaginations is found in Genesis, the sixth chapter. And of course, it's when evil began to rule over mankind. And in that sixth chapter, we read, and again, this is before the flood, before God called Noah and prepared him to build that ark so that he and his family would escape the judgment of God upon a wicked and sinful world. But verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and grieved him at his heart." Now notice that every thought, every imagination in his heart was only evil continually. And I think that this speaks, of course, of the old sin nature that every believer possesses and will retain throughout their lifetime. And of course, that is countered by the new birth. When a believer comes to Christ and is born of God, that changes everything. And it also gives the believer this brand new capacity to begin to imagine with God, to begin to live in the creativity that God has ordained for his people to experience and to learn. You know, it was the great Albert Einstein, that great thinker, who said, "Your imagination is your preview of life's coming attractions." A good way to look at our imagination, a preview of life's coming attractions. In other words, there is such a great capacity that we have through the new birth as believers to allow this capacity for our imagination to flourish. But of course, we need a sanctified imagination. And how does that happen? Well, I think it's found through the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17, when he had his high priestly prayer before his Father. And that prayer went along these lines: Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And you know, there's something that happens to our imagination when we take the word of God into our souls on a consistent, regular basis. And we'll talk about this and many more principles as we get our broadcast underway on this Wednesday morning. My name is Pastor John Love, and I am now joined in the studio by Pastor Steve Androlonis.
Sorry about that.
No worries. Good to have you with us. You made it. That's all that matters.
Got caught up in a little project and lost track of the time.
It happens.
Sometimes those reminders, you know.
Amen.
iPhones are creative elements, but they don't always
they can get you a little off track.
Yeah, if you depend on them for reminders, sometimes you just ignore them, right?
Yes. So Pastor Steve, what are your thoughts about this theme, this subject, our imaginations, our capacity to create as we live and walk and have our being in the presence of God?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, we're created in the image of God. You know, obviously, when we look at the world, look at the earth, we look at anything, you know, we look at a sunset, we look at, the moon and the stars, we see, you know, just the heart of God in all of it. And I think that's the Bible warns against empty imaginations. And then, that we know that creativity is something that, God, exercised and to a great degree. And then he committed to us these capacities to develop, beauty. I think that was the original thing, is like beauty, adoration, appreciation, just because the thing is, when we think about every person, has like this great capacity for thinking and remembering and enjoying each other in relationship and enjoying God that way. So when we stifle creativity, I think it really stifles the world. It's like when there's no creativity, there's no appreciation, there's no adoration, and there's no glory. And that's what I would say is like, how can we be most like God? I think people who are creative are most like God. And that creativity, I think God establishes creation, and especially the earth is like, God establishes the creativity on many, many levels. And I'm always struck when I get to Proverbs 6 and I see that, if you are lazy and a sluggard, it says go to the ant. And I'm just like, okay, why do I go to the ant? If I'm going to be taken to a higher level, shouldn't I look up to the sky or the stars? And the instruction from God is go to the ant. Look at the ant and see, can you be captivated by this smallest of creatures and what it does? It comes in, it comes out, it goes in. And I've seen some of these things where they've poured like molten silver into a anthill and then they bring it all up and you can see all the little things like that. And you can just imagine like at that level, at that basic level, there is a level of creativity and diligence imagination that is trying to communicate to us the heart of God. Mm.
So there seems to be two sides of this coin called imagination. One is very, very negative. We read about it in Genesis, the sixth chapter. The thoughts and the imagination of the hearts of men were only evil continually. And then there's the other side. There's that capacity where you have the ability to feed your mind from your imagination. So it's clearly that some things that I thought of in relationship to the imagination is obviously everyone has one.
Yeah.
You hear people say this all the time. Well, I can't imagine, or I never imagined. And then of course they complete the sentence by whatever it is that they're talking about. But everybody has an imagination. It's an important part of the mind. It's important to living morally. For example, You might see someone who is hurting, you know, maybe they've lost a limb. And, you know, the thought that comes to my mind is, wow, I can't even imagine what it might be like to try to live without a leg or without an arm or without a hand or without an eye. And that creates this empathy. It creates compassion. So you could almost say that the imagination gives us a capacity to live our lives from a moral perspective. And then beyond that, with the intake of doctrine and truth and scripture, we have this tremendous compassion upon people's souls. And we can imagine what it's like to live in a world of darkness, because in some cases, of course, our cases, we once lived there. But now we've been delivered from that. So the whole idea of an imagination is absolutely fascinating, and especially in the context of being born of God. We have this brand new capacity now to think, to imagine, and to have that imagination fueled by God himself through his word.
So, yeah, I think if we are led by the Spirit and our imagination, then it's constructive. I think it's constructive to human society and just what God is trying to accomplish through human beings. And, you know, we were made for this. We were made different. It's like, you know, animals do not create for beauty. I mean, I'm sure you can find something. There's always kinds of these things, like the painting horse or the painting dog or the, you know, those kind of things. But animals do not like create for beauty and for that kind of thing. They operate on their instincts. And maybe you can get a dog to swipe a paintbrush back and forth, and then, you know, have him do his paw print, and you might have like a side business there. You know, I'm sure there are some puppy painters out there, and you know, but when we think about what I think all the parables that Jesus spoke, they are figures of speech. They are ways to help our mind frame concepts that are too big for us. So when we're talking about why God gave imagination, like you said, like, we can't imagine what it would be like to be without a hand. You couldn't imagine, you know, hopping along the way you have. It's your right foot, right?
Left.
It's your left foot. Okay, so your left foot is still not fully functional. So you've had to, you've been put into a place, and now you know, You're beyond imagination into experience, right? And,
yes.
And that's been, it's been difficult, you know? And now you have like a connection, a deeper connection with somebody. And, when you read in Psalm 119, in a couple places, he said, it was good that I was afflicted. And I'm thinking,
that's true.
That's like, it's been good that I've been afflicted. And, it might serve you in some way. You know, we like to think that all things work together for good. We take that verse and we sort of pull it out of its context and slap it on a lot of things. But, you know, it really is the truth, is that, you know, if God is in this, then this is going to be like something, you know. Now you'll know, like when you're talking to your NBA players and a guy talks about an Achilles injury, you know, you'll know
absolutely.
I could remember, you know, you're probably going to use it this year somehow.
I hope so. I mean, I don't think I'll ever look at anyone who has broken a leg or an ankle the same way as I have in the past. I mean, I look at them. In the past, I would look at them and say, oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry that happened. But that's about the extent of it. But now, I have a whole different perspective. So clearly, you know, I just think that when God has given us a mind that has the ability to create and imagine, and now as we're believers, you couple that together with the new birth that we're talking about, that's a lot of potential to unpack. Yeah. I mean, I sometimes wonder, did Noah imagine what it would be like to build an ark and that would save his family and his life? Did David imagine what it would be like to take down the Philistine champion Goliath? I mean, it's a whole different way of thinking, isn't it?
I mean, imagination is... You know, what is, wow. I mean, where would we be without it? You know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, there's, you know, people talk about that process when David entered the field of battle there. Did he think it through? I mean, did he aim? You know, I'm sure he had an aim. I mean, he was used to doing this in the wilderness with the sheep, you know, and, you know, you've seen it, you know, maybe you shot. I haven't shot a BB gun so much, but my brothers did. I just had no interest in it, but I watched my brother pick off tin cans with a BB gun. And, you know, he was, you know, taking aim and every did David take aim at the, you know, he came in the name of the Lord. He saw the name of the Lord as a victory. Now, you know, did he get creative with his attack? I don't know. He ran straight at him. I don't know. That's, you know, that's a different kind of, you know, he came to the battlefield with a different mode of operation than anything else. All the other guys, you know, they were look maybe hand-to-hand combat, spears, swords, helmets, all of this kind of stuff. David came in a ephod, maybe. You know, I think David danced a couple times. He danced when the Ark of the Lord came in, and how well was, you know, how lightly dressed was he to run at that, you know, like we used to have this name years ago when I first was in the newspaper, they used to talk about track and field, and there used to be a name for it, the thin clad. You know, the thin clads, you know, Navy thin clads defeat Army, you know, and it was a track story about, you know, and the thin clads, like that's all, they didn't wear so much, and, you know, so that was the way, when you're trying to write headlines, you're looking for these little words, but I'm thinking David came to that battlefield pretty, you know, not so, you know, thin clad, he didn't have so much on, and he ran right into the battle, and, you know, did he foresee that, did he imagine that before he got to the battlefield? He imagined, you know, he had a conviction, his imagination about the name of God and the power of God for his victory was something that that he allowed to be created in his mind. And I think that gave him the courage. And I think that maybe is a good thing. Maybe that's one thing we could say is like, if you have a right imagination, then the creativity of God could give you a point of courage.
Absolutely.
And a point of victory.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that thought. And I think with a sanctified imagination and the more of the Word of God, and I think you don't want to overlook this tremendous connection between feeding an imagination from the right perspective with the intake of Scripture into your life. Our minds have been renewed by the Word of God, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And that has done wonders for our imagination, really, when you stop and think about it. We have this ability to create. We have this ability to. And I also think, and you mentioned it, I think, a little bit earlier about maybe the link between imagination and vision. You know, if Einstein is correct, this whole idea of, you know, an imagination is like a preview of life's coming attractions.
Okay.
That's like a vision for your life. I mean, you could almost ask a person, and I know that throughout the years, pastors have asked me, so what's your vision for your life? I mean, aren't we talking about the use of our imagination, how we see ourselves or how we see ourselves fitting into God's purpose, how God's going to use us in the future, how he's going to develop our gifts, and then we can imagine what those gifts might or might not be. I mean, this just brings us into a whole new realm of faith with God that can lead to, as you said, a courageous spirit.
Yeah. So creativity, appreciation, adoration, glory to God, those are just some of the elements that we want to think about it. I think, you know, one of the questions that is posed here, you know, is to think about like what sort of stifles creativity. And when we think about it, you know, we go all the way back to the garden and we see the devil's deception about, you know, God knows that in the day you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you'll be more like him. And, you know, I think the flood of information is showing us something, you know, is showing a stifling of creativity, or it's bringing creativity down to a consistent. This is going to be a big statement. Here you go. You can write this one down. this pursuit of data and knowledge that was launched at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil has lowered creativity to a seemingly consistent level of mediocrity. It's like, you know, we take the easy way, cheap thrills, these scaring movies, bare bodies, used to be, like if you go back to the old black and white comedy TV shows, there, the couples have twin beds. It's like that, but now, you can turn on a TV, you can be watching something not even related to anything, and then all of a sudden you could be watching a sports event, and then all of a sudden you got a commercial with several, thin clad people on there trying to stimulate your lust pattern. It's very lazy. It's like it's a lazy way of trying to, instead of creativity, it's titillation. It's like we're just trying to stimulate lust patterns instead of bring an adoration and draw people to the concept of who God is.
That kind of leads to another principle, and it has to do with the casting down of certain imaginations.
Yeah.
Paul wrote about that when he addressed the Corinthians. And while I'll read it in verse 3, it says, "For we are not walking in the flesh." And although he said we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And then he said, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." There were a lot of imaginations that the Corinthians had grasped in their minds and in their hearts, an awful lot. And Paul was saying here, some of those, they have to be demolished. They have to be cast down. And I think that if believers today don't become proactive in casting down imaginations that are contrary to the knowledge of God, contrary to the nature of God, contrary to what the Scripture teaches, the imagination, as you said, it's going to be dumbed down, but even beyond that, it's going to be polluted, and it's going to be like a trash can, and believers cannot afford to let that happen.
Yeah, it'll become toxic. Basic. Is there such thing as a toxic imagination? And we could label, pornography is something that is toxic to people's imagination. So if you go to an art museum, any art museum, and you go through it, you're going to find these, you're going to find paintings of people without clothes on. That's going to be the way. But what is the difference between that, the appreciation of some of that? Like, can a person look at that? And then the pornographic, the toxic pornography, it's removed from the realm of imagination. As God created it to be, and it's put in, because we know that in the beginning that Adam and Eve were naked and without any kind of shame about their human bodies. There was no body image focus on that until the fall came. And then we see that the self-centeredness really polluted the whole idea. So if an imagination is rooted in sort of a self-exaltation, a self-centeredness, then it becomes toxic. And that toxic nature, you're right, pollution poisons people. People cannot appreciate or adore God in the right way.
And even Jesus brought out in, it was the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, that we can sin with our imaginations. I mean, that just shows you the capacity that we have. He was talking about, you've heard it said of old, and he's quoting from the Old Testament, that thou shalt not commit adultery. But then he said, but I say unto you, whosoever looks upon a woman and with lust in his heart, he's already good. That's the imagination. And haven't we witnessed and haven't we seen how the imagination leads people into a world of fantasy that has the potential to destroy their reality?
That's true. Yeah. We're coming really close to that, because now things that we considered scientifically, biologically true, now imaginations are being used to create an alternative existence for people who are unhappy. And so, you know, imagine yourself this way. Well, more than imagine it. Now we can use the chemistry and technique and technology. And let's not be, I'm not the first person that's said this. This is an ancient thought. I can't remember, not ancient thought, but it's a thought from like the early 1900s about like the technological age and how it crippled people and created this sense that you can fix everything. You can fix everything. I think it was H.G. Wells, who really was one of the man who wrote War of the Worlds and imagined like Martians coming to attack the planet and destroying everything. And Orson Welles, not related to H.G. Wells, actually did this famous like mock news broadcast that some people listening to it thought it was real. That's and right. Started hustling themselves away from a certain place in, I think it was New Jersey is where the invasion was happening. That's right. In the story, you know. So, when you go down that sort of, when you're using your imagination to really, try to create something like that and create an alternative kind of identity, we're going to be picking up the pieces. Let's just put it that way. Maybe not me and you, but maybe our grandchildren are going to be picking up the pieces of the disaster. Just like, you know, we've been picking up the pieces from, you know, certain, you know, the sexual revolution. We've had to deal with it as adults and as counselors and biblical counselors. We've had to see like the sexual revolution that started to dismiss the idea of you know, faithful and true marriage as being like a great ideal for human society. You know, here we are in this, you know, we're looking at this like a, you know, more and more sociologists are realizing that the disintegration of family dynamics and community dynamics that are rooted in good families are responsible for the problems in our cities and towns. So, you know, people imagined a life that were, you know, they imagined, vainly imagined a life without consequence, you know, a casual sex, life without consequence. And they thought just how perfect it would be. And now we're seeing that it's really not so perfect at all. In fact, it's very corrupting, very polluting to all, and we're all dealing with it.
Wow. We need a sanctified imagination, that is for certain. And again, that correlation between hiding the Word of God in your heart and taking it in on a consistent basis. I mean, again, I'm going to just come out and say it, that my imagination would be completely polluted if it were not for, over these last 50 years, hearing the Word of God on a consistent basis. Because faith comes by hearing. Mm-hmm. Faith feeds the imagination. The Scripture feeds the imagination. Fellowship with other believers feeds the imagination. And then that imagination becomes sanctified. Now, if we have people listening to us today and they're thinking, man, my imagination needs a lot of help. Well, good news. God is in the business of redeeming people's imaginations. I just want to share with you something that Jonathan Edward, he wrote this. He believed that God had built into nature clues about deep themes of Scripture. And these are just a few examples of that. He said, in the butterfly, he saw the image of the burial and the resurrection of Christ. In the spider web, he saw the craftiness and the stealth of Satan. In the sunrise, the eclipse of the law of works by the law or the perfect law of grace. Just some, you know, ways in which he imagined what he saw. I mean, in creation, right? In nature, he saw these things and it stirred his imagination. And he thought, wow, that butterfly, once, you know, wrapped up in its cocoon, now flies and now, you know, is free to move through the air. That's incredible. The spider web. Oh, yeah, that's how the devil does it. He just very stealthily weaves his web and then unsuspecting creatures find their way in and now they're captured. They can't get free. And then, of course, the sunrise, the eclipse of the law of works. He saw, you know, one covenant has been replaced by a new covenant of grace. Just beautiful ways of imagining before God.
Yeah, creativity. I would say, I think there's a real lie that there are creative people and uncreative people. And, over the past course, since last summer, we've had several sort of plumbing adventures at my house. And then I'm realizing, the creativity of these people who use their hands and, try to direct water and sewage through the walls under the house and out to the right place and into the house and through the right place. And, when you get underneath them, you see the pipes and you just wonder about the creativity that was there. When we the king, Uzziah, who's made famous in Isaiah, because when he died, Isaiah 6, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. But when we read about Uzziah, we know that he was creative in many ways. He helped develop agricultural elements in Judah's society, in the southern kingdom, Judah and Jerusalem. And then he helped develop a way to get water into the center of the city. And all of these things required a way of creativity and scientific and technology and engineering kind of things. So, so you're a plumber and you don't think you have much creativity. You do have creativity. You've done some workarounds. You've been in an old building and you're trying to tear out a wall and you're trying to get that pipe out and get the new pipe in. I have 100-year-old cast iron pipes. They had to saw it out and put in, PVC pipe to replace something that was put in 1922. And when you just think about it, it's like, but they had to figure out how to do it. There was a creative element. They had to look at it. They had to imagine going through the wall and cutting out as much as they could, get this out. So I think I'm a writer that's been, if you ask me what is my, I'm a pastor, but what do I do? What do I do? Writing. But somebody say, how do you write? Well, you just tell yourself you're a writer and you just start writing. The imagination, not everyone has my imagination and I can imagine things. I can create stories and everything like that. But anyone can put together a sentence if they know the basic rules of English grammar and language, and you can communicate that way. And just like a plumber, there are plumbers who just get the basics down, but then, there's probably finished plumbing. I guess you would call it finished plumbing, like finished carpentry. It's the knobs and the built-in tubs and all that kind of thing. But if without the creativity of the underside, that creativity on the top is zero and non-functional. So, I would encourage anyone who, whatever you're doing, if you're an electrician, you are a most valuable creative person. How do you get the light? We got several lights in here. Where did it come from? Where did all the electricity come from? That's a creativity, And I think you quoting Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the most brilliant minds who ever lived in America, just the creativity that he saw in nature. Like, can you look at that? And that's right. Can we look at God's creation and allow him to inspire some sort of creativity in us. Mm.
And then you think of the power of creativity and the use of an imagination to reach the world with the gospel.
Wow.
I mean, that is incredible. I mean, I love the fact that Pastor Stevens, the founder of our ministry, he must have imagined what it would be like for a ministry to reach the world for Christ. Mm. And he did that under the circumstances of a little town in Maine and a small church with a handful of people. And I think he just started to imagine reaching the world with the gospel. He imagined going into other countries. He imagined touching other nations with the gospel. And frankly speaking, it became a reality. But without that power of imagination, without seeing those images, having that vision in your heart and your mind, maybe it never would have happened, but here we are today. We're living in the reality of the power of someone's imagination that was inspired by God and his word.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we can think about, we know that there are songs that, as far as Pastor Stevens goes, we know that songs were given to him, and they're having a reunion kind of in Turner, Maine, this week, actually. And part of it that will go to Worthley Pond, where in our ministry's history, we know that Pastor Stevens, things he didn't imagine, the Holy Spirit communicated to him. You know, a worldwide mission organization, which we are now, a Christian day school, which is has been operational for, in Massachusetts and now in Maryland since the 80s, Bible colleges, these kind of things, imagination. God gave him songs. God gave him heart visions, seeing, communicating things about, people who were lost forever, last looks, last words, last thoughts. He called this a heart vision, a heart vision. He didn't consider it a prophecy, but he called it like a God was showing him like the weight of like people being, sent away from the presence of the Lord, which is Cain walked away from the presence of the Lord. Jesus spoke in this idea, depart from me. We know that this is going to be a reality, So, if we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and create the creativity, this is, and our imaginations, this is, very useful. Pastor Stevens was very skillful in some of the ways that God, allowing God to use him in creativity,
Absolutely. Well, friends, if you'd like to weigh in, our phone lines are open. Take this opportunity right away. Go to your phone, dial one of these numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060 and share your thoughts with us. And locally in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. We can only imagine what you might say.
Yeah. Right? We mentioned like the toxicity and the pollution that comes from pornography. What does that do to you? It's a numbing kind of thing. We understand these desires that God gave us to be creative and to work and to be diligent. These are some things that the nature that God put into human nature. When you go down the pattern of lust and you enter into the imagination of lust or you stagnate, which is what is slothfulness or sluggardliness, as mentioned in Proverbs, when you stagnate creativity or when you overstimulate, we know that passion is very much a part of a healthy marriage, but we also know that passion unbridled is very destructive to your healthy, and you just, it's like any other kind of stimulant, any kind of stimulant that is not used in the design of God can damage you. And it seems to be like we know that from people who abuse drugs and then they come off for so long, and then if they fall back into the pattern, that seems to be when the overdose happens. Like they've been off it for a while and they go back to take the dose that they used to do, and it's like it's too much for their system. So we know that when you enter into that overstimulation really produces this drive to like for greater and greater thrills. I mean, let's use it in like, why do they have to make faster and faster and faster roller coasters, higher roller coasters? Just this one down in North Carolina where they found a crack in it, they had to shut it down. It was the highest, fastest roller coaster, and there was a crack in one of the towers. Thankfully, nothing slid off the tracks to damage people, destroy people. But, me and my son did this, Timothy. A few years ago, we were at Hershey Park, and we took 67 roller coaster rides. Mm. And after when you get to like sort of 8 o'clock at Hershey Park, we could go from one to the other. When we got on the last, we got on the Super Duper Looper one last time, and it was like, Tim, did you even feel anything on that one? And that was just through the course of one day, we had ridden these rides so much that we were numb to this thrill of it. Like, so it's the same thing. Overstimulation, like in creativity, pornography is an overstimulation of a beautiful thing that God gave a husband and a wife. And that overstimulation cripples right relationship to the creativity and the glory of God. And then the other way, if you just like, if you keep seeing lions in the street, and you're not going to go out there and be a witness for God, or you're not going to go out there and do what you're designed to do, then that's going to stifle your creativity too. So it's absolutely, it's both and overstimulation and lack of stimulation. It's like, you know, there's creative element that God wants to put into society and you're part of it.
So for our listeners today, what are some of the best ways that they can stir up their imagination, their power to create before God?
Book Psalms. I think you've taught it, and you know, and I think you've read it enough over your 50 years. You've been a Christian 50 years. I've been a Christian 40-some years. And the Book of Psalms is remarkable because, you know, I read it this morning, and you're always seeing something new of God is communicating to you. I mean, it's music, it's rhyme, it's verse, it's like, and Proverbs, too. I think those two books in the Bible, I said, get connected to those books on a deep level and let God show you the creativity that he's there. And, you know, I mean, just, you know, you can just start writing down your observations or speaking your observations or making joyful noise with your songs. I just think, like, you know, don't see yourself as, you know, that's for other people. It's like, you know, just, you know, it's just basically I had a, you know, when I was becoming a writer, you know, I read a book, you're a writer because you say you're a writer. It's like, not because you're good at it. It's like, you just got to start doing it. There was the Little Giants, or is that football movie where the one guy's team beats his brother's team. And he said, you don't play football because you're good at it. You play football because you want to have fun, because you want to play football. And yes, yeah, there are people who are bigger, faster, stronger. And, you know, but we've turned all of this creativity and this recreation and this thing that's designed to help us be free for God's glory and God's worship. And we've turned it into such a job. Just such a job. You know, I think like the, you know, that's one reason why I loved like the way that Ray Lewis approached football is that he always knew it was a game. And no matter how devastating the defeat was, there was always a big smile after the game was over. He, you know, he ran from sideline to sideline. He played with a ferocity and a creativity there, but he always knew that it was a game. And I'm not saying life is a game, but I am saying that, you know, you should make a joyful noise to the Lord. And, you know, you should look at Song of Solomon. That's another one. Like, you're looking for new ways to approach your, you know, to compliment your spouse. You can go to Song of Solomon. There's a guy out of his mind in love with his wife. That's what it, you know.
Amazing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 reminds us to let the word of Christ dwell richly hearts and
That's
minds.
It.
Yeah. Redeemed minds, redeemed hearts, redeemed imaginations. It is possible. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, you mentioned earlier about pornography, which we know is a lie. And it's a trap. It's a web that's been weaved by the devil to try to destroy people's ability to become creative before God and to destroy their imaginations, to literally capture them and take them into a world of fantasy that has that potential to destroy their present reality. But, you know, for those people that may be struggling in that area, pornography, it's not so much that we want to say to them, you've got to stop that, you know, get rid of that, remove that. Of course you want it. Yeah. Obviously, yes, that's true. But beyond that, more importantly than that, fill your heart with truth. Fill your mind with the promises of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's kind of like the parable that Jesus taught about the man who was, you know, his home was possessed by demons. He went in and he swept it clean.
Yeah.
And it was empty.
Yeah.
But those demons returned with seven worse than themselves. In other words, he emptied his soul, but he didn't furnish it with truth.
There you go.
Furnish soul with truth, and you'll have a healthy imagination.
That's true. That's right. It's like, yeah. I mean, if you're looking at the bare walls, like, you know, you put a masterpiece up there or something, or just like, you know. But that's, you know, but I think, you know, creativity and imagination is really just related to God and just glorifying Him. Yeah. Adoring Him is the glory of God. And just, you know, go out and look at the sunset. Go out and look at the sunrise. Look at the moon. Just imagine, you know, God thinking these things through and see what it does for your spirit.
Amen. And on that final note, friends, we want to remind you that tonight here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, it's our midweek service. Come on out, 7 p.m., 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore, and fuel and feed your imagination with the truth of God's Word. You'll be built up. You'll be encouraged. You'll have thoughts that you enjoy that will promote this kind of creativity.
And it's a good chance that our pastor might have some artwork to show you.
There you go.
It happens.
He can be very creative with
that
as well. God bless you, friends. Until tomorrow, at the same time, thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to the program on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.